This is Bristol, and you are listening to a podcast from the Bristol Confringe reading series.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're all suitably replenished and caked and everything. And I would like to welcome Gareth, who is going to come and read us from a new monkey book, I believe, which is very cool. So round of applause for Gareth, please.
I'm going to read from the third monkey book, the Book of Monkeys, Book 3, Chapters 26. I don't know how long this is going to take because I've not read it before, but this chapter is called Big Dog, and I've chosen it because it's got probably the fewest number of spoilers of any chapter in this book. Have a quick show of hands who's read at least one of the preceding books. Right, okay, you people are the only ones that are going to have a clue what's going on. The wind blew across the top of the airship's armour-plated hull, ruffling the hairs on Akak Makak's cheeks and the backs of his hands, and flapping the scarf at his neck. His arms were folded across his chest. As he drew them tighter, the brand new leather jacket creaked around his shoulders like a timber galleon. Thank goodness Kate had talked him into buying several spare sets of clothes. She knew his propensity for getting into trouble, and although he'd grumbled at the time, he was grateful now. If he was going to convince this ragtag mob of primates that he was still their leader, it helped to look the part. And besides, in his state of injured exhaustion, it was pretty much only the stiffness of the jacket that was holding him upright. With a squeal and a clunk, the platform, designed to transport helicopters from the hangars to the flight deck, drew level, and the crowd parted around Bali, forming a loose semicircle with the younger monkey at its focus. Akak Makak glanced back to the gun turret at the far end of the airship's hull, almost a kilometre away, where Kate monitored proceedings through the scope of a high-powered sniper rifle. "Stay cool," he told her, knowing his words would be picked up and relayed by the throat mic beneath his scarf. "Don't shoot unless I'm already dead." He didn't have an earpiece, so he couldn't know if she'd replied. Nevertheless, he trusted her. She knew how important appearances were in these matters. If she intervened to save his life, he'd lose the respect of the troop. Not because she was a girl, but because she was human. And this was one fight he had to win or lose by himself. He uncrossed his arms, clamped the cigar between his teeth, and cracked his knuckles. Surrounded by onlookers and supporters, Bali did his best to look unimpressed. "I didn't think you'd come," he said, fingering the blade of his machete. Akak Makak grinned, letting them all see his teeth. "I didn't," he gestured at the platform. "You came to me." "A cheap trick," Bali said. "No." Suddenly serious, Akak Makak blew smoke from the corner of his mouth. "A message." He took a step forward and saw Bali tense. "I heard you wanted to challenge me for my position as Alpha Monkey." The younger monkey drew himself up. "That's right." "You don't feel like backing down?" Akak asked. Bali's blade swiped the air. "Not today, Grandpa. We've followed you for 2 years and enough is enough. It's time things were different. We need to start thinking about ourselves and about what we want. Let the humans deal with their own problems." Careful to keep his face impassive, Akak Makak gave an inward groan. Part of him had been hoping Bali would lose his nerve and retract his challenge, sparing them both a fight, at least until Akak's bruises had been given a chance to heal. "The people we're fighting against are the ones who made us," he said, appealing to the onlookers as much as Bali. "They're the ones who turned us into monsters." Bali laughed scornfully. "Then perhaps we should thank them." He thumped a hand against his breast. Just because you hate yourself, old man, it doesn't mean the rest of us have to be racked with self-loathing. Is that what you think? Akak asked. Yes, it is. Varley let the flat edge of his weapon rest against his shoulder. Now, compadre, are you going to bore me to death or are you going to meet my challenge? Akak Macaque puffed. He didn't want to fight Varley. The monkey had been a trusted lieutenant, and he honestly didn't know if, in his current state, he could beat him. But neither could he walk away. I rescued you, he said. Varley scowled. Maybe I didn't need rescuing. Perhaps I liked living in that temple. Perhaps I liked being a god. I didn't hear any complaints at the time. You're hearing one now. They stood looking at each other, neither willing to be the first to break the stare. Finally, Akak Macaque rolled his cigar from one side of his mouth to the other and gave a weary huff. So be it. He flicked a hand at the crowd and the circle widened as every monkey in it took a quick step backwards. Pick your weapon. Smirking triumphantly, Varley held his blade aloft. I choose the machete. The polished steel gleamed in the cold November sun, and Akak Macaque shook his head, suppressing a shudder. Not another knife fight. Too many memories brawled at the edges of his awareness, his nostrils filled with jumbled odours of sawdust, blood, and shit. No. In one movement, he pulled out a Colt and fired. Varley's arm jerked as the bullet snatched the machete from his grip and sent it clattering across the deck. In the sudden, echoing silence, nobody dared move. Pick again, Akak said. Varley sucked bruised fingers. Are you insane? Akak Macaque lowered his revolver until it was aimed directly at the younger monkey's face. The spectators cowered. Possibly, he admitted. I'm certainly sleep-deprived and recovering from some pretty fucking strong drugs. Varley swallowed, looking truly uncertain for the first time. He thrust his chin forward. Are you going to shoot me down, just like that? For a moment, Akak Macaque considered it. With a thumb, he levered back the Colt's hammer, clicking a fresh shell into the firing chamber. All he had to do now was squeeze the trigger. One little squeeze. And all his problems would be gone. He could blow Bali's brains all over the top of this dreadnought. And then he could go and find the founder and demand to know why she hadn't told him about the baby. And then, after that, maybe he could finally go and get some fucking sleep. His forefinger caressed the trigger. So tempting. But would the other monkeys respect him or despise him for taking the easy way out? With a silent curse, he eased the hammer forward and slid the smoking gun back into its holster. I don't need to shoot you, he growled. To show everybody here what a jumped-up little pissweasel you really are. He took a deliberate step forward. Varley flinched but held his ground. You don't frighten me, old man. Akak Macaque grinned. Yes, I do. He took another step forward, clawed hands reaching out. So, Varley said, raising his fists, we're going to duke it out like gentlemen, is that it? Still advancing, Akak Macaque shook his head. Don't be a twat. The first flickers of real fear crossed Bali's face. He began to back away. Then what? Akak Macaque rotated his shoulders and flexed his neck. His original plan had been to intimidate Varley into submission, but now his blood was up. Tiredness and irritation gave way to boiling anger. As far as he was concerned, the upstart was a stand-in for every hurt, frustration, and setback he'd suffered over the past few days, and all he wanted now was to stomp the insolent look from the little bastard's stupid eyes. We're going to fight like monkeys, he said gruffly. We're going to scream and leap and scratch and bite. You know, old school. And then, at some point, I'm going to rip your tail off and jam it up your devious backstabbing ass. Varley's hackles rose. He stopped retreating. Oh, really? He spoke for the benefit of the audience. You think you can take me in a fair fight? Akak Macaque laughed. Who said anything about fair? They crashed together with a screech that seemed to fill the vaulting sky. A kilometre away, the sound chilled Kate's blood and prickled the hairs at the back of her neck. Through her rifle's telescopic sight, the two monkeys became a tumbling blur of flailing limbs and thrashing tails. They squirmed around each other, each trying to clamp his teeth around the other's windpipe. She saw flying clumps of torn hair and ripped clothing and the flash of yellow incisors. Oh, shit. Her index finger tapped against the trigger guard. She wanted to help, but the skipper's instructions had been very specific. She wasn't to fire on Bali unless Akak Makak died, and even then she was only allowed to do it in self-defense. If Bali's first act as the new alpha male was to turn on the humans, Kate and Victoria, she was authorized to put a bullet in his brain. Otherwise, she was just to get the hell off the airship and let the Sun Wukong go wherever it wanted. I don't think so. Kate jerked upright, startled by the voice in her head. Since returning to this parallel, the voices of the Gestalt had been a low buzz at the back of her awareness, a conversation she could tune in or out of at will. This voice, however, was much louder, a sharp, feminine voice speaking directly into her mind, and the sudden, queasy sensation of another presence in her head peering out through her eyes. What do you mean? If you get a shot, child, you take it. Founder? Who else? But the skipper, he said, I don't care what he said. He's a reckless fool. If you see a chance to end the fight, you end it. But the other monkeys, Kate protested. You leave them to me. Kate closed one eye and squinted down the scope. Her cheek brushed the rifle's wooden stock. They're moving too fast. She clicked the magnification up a notch. If we shoot, we could kill them both. Then wait for one of them to get the upper hand. Lurking behind the voice like the background hiss of a radio transmission, Kate sensed frustration, concern, and an exasperated, grudging respect for Akak Makak and his hot-headed ways. She hunched around the rifle, arranging herself in order to minimize the amount of recoil her shoulder would have to absorb. Despite the cold wind, her hands were sweating. Through the sight, she saw Akak Makak pull back his arm and let fly with a punch that sprayed blood and teeth from Bali's mouth. Yay! Kate whispered. But even as Bali turned with the force of the blow, his foot swept around and caught Akak off balance. The big monkey went down on his back, and Bali was on him, hands locked around his throat, throttling him. Heart beating hard, Kate tried to focus the crosshairs. Before she could, one of Akak Makak's hands came up to grab the side of Bali's head, and his thumb pressed into the younger monkey's eye. Bali twisted away with a cry of pain, but still the chokehold stayed in place. Was Bali going to win? From where Kate knelt, he seemed to have the advantage. He was younger and faster, and coming to the fight fresh and rested, instead of exhausted and bruised. And with his hands locked around the skipper's throat, surely it was only a matter of time. Come on, girl, said the voice. Kate swallowed. Bali was still on top of Akak, who was writhing furiously, trying to throw his opponent off. If they could just hold still for half a second. Akak Makak's thumbs stabbed into Bali's eye socket again, this time rupturing the soft jelly within. Bali screamed and pulled back, hands flying to his face. Vitreous fluid poured down his cheek like the contents of a broken egg. Freed from his stranglehold, Akak Makak sat up and lunged forward with a vicious headbutt. The other monkey toppled back and they rolled apart. Bali was on his back now, feet in the air, hands clamped to his face. Now! The force of the command swamped all other thoughts. Kate's finger twitched and the gun bucked, and 1,000 meters away across the curving roof of the dreadnought, Bali's left knee exploded. Akak Makak tied his white silk scarf around his fallen opponent's thigh, pulling it tight to form an improvised tourniquet. Then he turned to glare at the distant figure of Kate, who was standing up now, the rifle dangling from her right hand. Why the fuck did you do that? I was winning, for Christ's sake. At his feet, Bali moved feebly, one hand on his shattered leg, the other covering his punctured eye. Hold still, Akak Makak told him. You'll be okay. Bali looked up at him, his remaining eye filled with anguish. You're not going to kill me? Akak Makak reached into his jacket and pulled out a pair of cigars. He lit both and handed one over. I never was. I only plan to teach you a lesson. The other monkeys stood awkwardly around them. Some didn't believe the fight could be over, others were just waiting to see what would happen next. A lesson? Barley's laugh was brittle. The hand holding the cigar shook so violently he almost dropped it. He was going into shock. To keep him focused, Akak Makak bent down and slapped him across the cheek. I didn't say I wasn't going to kick your ass. He stepped back a few paces, his boots leaving bloody footprints on the iron deck. Barley regarded him with horrified disbelief. But you took my eye! Akak Makak shrugged. If you challenge the big dog, you're going to get bitten. He straightened his jacket and glowered at the assembled crowd. Now, I'm going to let this one live, he said, nodding down at his fallen challenger, for one reason, and one reason only. And that's because I've seen enough senseless killing to last me the rest of my days. There are too many assholes out there thinking they've got the right to kill and maim and enslave, and I've had a gutful of it. I won't be one of them. He stomped to the edge of the deck and threw an arm out, pointing to the horizon. If any of you want to leave this ship and live out your days on Kishkinda, you're welcome. I won't stop you. But let me just say this. You remember those tossers we were just fighting? The ones in the big tanks? He recalled his woodland encounter with Apinya and bared his teeth at the audience. Do you know they killed everybody on their timeline just because they fucking could? They murdered 8 billion people because they were in the way. He shook his head, feeling disgusted with himself, with Barley and Kate and the whole messy fuck-up. The woman leading them is called Alyssa Celestine. Some of you may have heard of her. She's a grade A fucking psychopath. He sucked his cigar until the end glowed like a flare, then spoke through a plume of smoke. She wants to live forever. She's worked with copies of herself on a number of timelines, trying to convert people into undying machines. And that's where we came from. He jabbed a cigar butt at the nearest monkeys. We're byproducts of their experiments. They didn't want to try uploading people until they tried it on monkeys first. He hawked and spat over the edge of the deck and watched his phlegm get snatched away by the wind. And so here we are. We're the cast-offs, the prototypes, the ones sentenced to live lives of loneliness and pain, separated from our species and surrounded by humans. And my question to you is this. He paused, letting his words hang, watching their eyes widen. He was their boss, and he was angry. This wasn't a victory speech, it was a call to war. Are you motherfuckers ready to do something about it?
Thank you, Gareth. That was awesome. I had a message on Facebook the other day from somebody asking me if Fringe Marines were suitable for children. And I said, Hughes might be, but Gareth's probably wasn't. Okay, if anybody else wants a drink, go grab a drink, grab some cake, and we'll come back in a few minutes and just have a bit of a Q&A. All right.
BristolCon Fringe is a monthly reading series produced by the BristolCon Foundation. Our thanks to the Shakespeare Tavern for providing us with a venue. The music at the beginning of this podcast is The Future by Chevy 174.